Well, tonight we have a very special friend, old friend, Brother Milton Martin. And we're thankful you're here with us, brother. This is a missionary for, 25, 30 years. How long were you in Mexico? 26 years. That's older than most of you. I mean, he was in Mexico before some of you discovered America. Amen. He's an old man getting gray-headed and old. You can tell looking at him. I mean, you know, he's worn out. But he hadn't rusted much. You know, he hadn't rusted out. He'd been wearing out. He'd been wearing those gears out, putting a lot of miles on the motor. So we thank the Lord for him. He's been a dear brother, and he's done a fine work. I thank the Lord for the work that Brother Milton's done. And I thank the Lord for his friendship and fellowship all these years. Now, brother, you just feel free. You come here and give us whatever you have on your heart. Amen. Brother Milton Martin.
Thank you, brother. I'm very grateful tonight. Privilege of being here and grateful for you. Appreciate the faithfulness of you here at Oak Knoll for many years. We're grateful for your sacrifice and example that you're putting forth before others. I want to tell you tonight there are other churches across the country who are beginning to catch a vision, beginning to see what can be done. You're not alone. There are some others. I wish I had time to tell you about some of those tonight, but there are some others out there. But I do want to share and show you one thing tonight that's been the thrill of our heart for after almost 20 years in one specific tribe in southern Mexico, and the Lord had made it possible a few months ago to finish the translation and to give a tribe of 85,000 people a reliable translation of the scriptures for the very first time in history. And the Lord moved on churches here in the States, and from May 1st of last year to March of this year, they supplied over $35,000, made it possible to print 10,000 of these. You've had a part in the ministry of Bruce, and he worked with a computer with the side of Brother Carlos Mendoza, who did the real major part of the translation. Well, they worked over 2 years, and then several of us worked for the first 3 months of this year in the final work, layout, and then getting the printing. Now the major job, or another major job, is to get these in to the country, and that happens to have to be done undercover. But it's already been possible in the last 2 months to get in 2,400 of these to the tribe. And they voted to sell these at cost so that it would go into a fund and would be kept for the purpose perhaps of other Indian tribes in Mexico doing the very same thing. In southern Mexico, there are a lot of things happening tonight. The Lord is blessing, and there are an average of a new congregation being started every 2 weeks. But at the same time, the persecution continues. Another congregation was wiped out 3 weeks ago by guerrilla activity. And we've had in another tribe that has been opening up the last 2 years, and not a believer has been allowed to remain in that tribe. And each month, it seems, 25 to 30 are placed in jail. Here's 28 new believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, put in a small jail, where they did not even have, water or restroom facilities or even enough room to even lie down, where they were there for, over 36 hours. But, they've experienced unusual grace of the Lord. We're very grateful, for you and all of those that you have in the country of Mexico today. I'm not going to give a homiletically prepared message tonight. I'd like for us to just look at a few passages of scripture, thank you. And, just a few passages of scripture from the Word of God, and to see how all the world can be found in all the Word of God. It's not just in the New Testament. Yes, it is in the New Testament, but it's not just in the New Testament, and we'll see in just a moment. We sang a song just a moment ago about that he was not willing. And look with me at just several random passages for just a moment before we go to the Old Testament. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. What you're doing this week is that which is nearest to the heart of God. The very heartbeat of God tonight is in missions, is for those in the world who've never heard the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'd like for you to just notice how many times in these three or four random passages we're going to look at, first of all, how we find the use of the word all. You know, the fall of man was universal. It reached out to all men. And all men, regardless of who they are, regardless of their place in the world, regardless of their color, where they may be found, all are sinners and have the same need. And then there is a universal remedy tonight. In other words, that which the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary paid the price for every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth. There is a universal remedy. Amen. But it doesn't end there. There is a universal invitation as well tonight, as he invites all. And 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved? And 1 Timothy 2:6 says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And there again, you'll find the word A-L-L. Then look with me in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 2. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, we find, and he is the propitiation for our sins. He's the covering. He's the covering for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. There have been over 17,000 different people groups discovered in the last 5 to 6 years who, as of yet, do not have a witness, do not have any type of New Testament local assembly in their midst yet tonight. And yet, he paid the price for the whole world. Look back across the page to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But not only in the New Testament, and not only in every book of the New Testament can be found the Great Commission, but even going back to the very beginning of the Bible. Let's go back. Would you go back with me to the book of Genesis? And in the book of Genesis chapter 3, we find the fall of man. And we find immediately what happened when man disobeyed God and fell into sin. He was separated from God. But we find that it was God immediately, in his grace and his mercy, began to seek out man. And ever since that time, it has been God who has been searching and seeking out man. Man hid because of his sin. But God came and with the question, Adam, where art thou? Even in that same chapter 3 of Genesis, we find a picture of that which Jesus Christ was to do on the cross of Calvary. As God himself slew an innocent lamb, shed that blood, and used that lamb to cover the nakedness of sinful Adam and Eve. And a picture of that which Jesus Christ was to do. Amen. On the cross of Calvary. In that same chapter, of course, is the first promise of the Messiah. In Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 15, when God said he will put enmity between the serpent and the woman, and between the seed of Satan and that of the woman, and how that the Satan would bruise the heel, but that the Lord Jesus Christ would deal that blow, that mortal blow to the head of Satan. Then we can begin here, and then we can begin to follow, and go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 12, if you please. In the book of Genesis chapter 12, we find the call of Abraham and the beginning of the Abrahamic covenant. But what I want you to see is in verse 3. He says, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. As God began to prepare a people for himself, as he began to prepare for the Jewish nation, and this promise was made a number of times in Genesis chapter 17, and Genesis chapter 25, and Genesis chapter 26, and Genesis chapter 28. Again, God renewed that promise. And in 4 of those promises that he made to Abraham, he gave the promise that in him, in his seed, would all the nations of the earth be blessed. In Genesis 17, he said he'd be the father of many nations. In Genesis 25, he said all the nations of the world would be blessed. In Genesis chapter 26, when that promise was renewed, he said all the countries of the world would be blessed. In Genesis 28, verse 14, he said, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Then we see as that nation began to form and began to come forth in the book of Exodus chapter 19, the Jewish nation. But the purpose of the Jewish nation was not to be a nation in isolation. Apparently, the purpose of God in the beginning was that that entire nation be a nation of priests that would proclaim his message to the rest of the nations of the world. In Exodus chapter 19, Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 8, but we'll only look at verse 6, ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. Many times we think, well, it was just to be the tribe of Levi. Apparently that came about because of the lack of the nation fulfilling that purpose. But the original purpose of God was that our entire nation be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In other words, they were to be a witness to the rest of the nations of the world. We can go to many other passages in the Old Testament, especially in the book of Isaiah. Let's look in the book of Isaiah chapter 45, and notice here where the emphasis is put upon all the islands and all the nations and all the peoples, and how in these same passages from Isaiah chapter 41 through Isaiah chapter 49, he called Israel his servant 13 different times. But the manner in which Israel was to be his servant to the rest of the world was in being a witness to the rest of the world. In Isaiah chapter 45, verses 21 through 23, tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. All the world is in all the Word. It's not just in the New Testament, but it is in the Old Testament as well. You can look in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. He said, "Behold my servant whom I upheld, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I'll put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." What a thing that the Jews overlooked that fact. Somehow they did not recognize that their purpose for existence was to be that witness to the rest of the world, to the Gentiles. Look in Isaiah 41 verses 6 and 7. "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, will hold thine hand, will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." He was speaking of the purpose of the coming of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as well. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 49 and in verse 6. "And he said, it's a light thing that thou should be my servant," speaking again of Israel, "to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I'll also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." Look in Isaiah chapter 52 and in verse 10 again. Isaiah chapter 52. "The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Yes, that's future. That's during the millennial. But that was his plan and his purpose as well for the present of Israel. In Isaiah 49 and 15, "So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see. That which they had not heard shall they consider." God prepared a nation. God did many miracles. He raised up that nation. But that nation, as she had everything that she needed at her disposal to fulfill his command and his purpose to give the message to the world, she did not. She withdrew in isolation. She became an end within herself instead of recognizing the purpose for her blessing. And God put her aside for a time. God put Israel aside because she failed to put forth that witness. Now we're living in the age of grace. And in this age, there's another instrument that God has chosen to be a witness to the world. That is to use his churches to be a witness unto the world, beginning even in Jerusalem. But even they did not understand their purpose. And so it was necessary for persecution to come upon them before they would go out with a message. And those that went out were not necessarily, they weren't apostles. They were the common, ordinary people, if you'll excuse the expression, but they went everywhere preaching the word. Amen. And it was they who raised up those churches such as Antioch and others that we find in the New Testament. We can go to the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, we find the message to seven churches. But to each of these seven churches in the book of Revelation was a warning given by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit said to those churches, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Those seven churches were in what was called Asia Minor at that time. We would call it the country of Turkey today. Not a single one of those exists today. In fact, the country of Turkey is a closed country. It's a Muslim country with over 45 million souls tonight. There is one little interdenominational congregation of about 75 believers, there are less than 150 believers in Jesus Christ scattered throughout that country today. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit of God gave a message, gave a warning to those seven churches. Seven times he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." Those churches did not hear that message. I want to say to you tonight, as God set them aside, God can set you aside just as well. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." You could go tonight to country after country, but you know, over 350 so-called evangelical churches are closing their doors in England alone every single year. Why? Because they've become an end in themselves. They think all their church exists for is to preach to them and to pray for them and to visit with them and to hold their hands and to take care of their needs. And they've not understood the fact that they exist for the world. The purpose of the church tonight is world missions. But I wonder tonight, I wonder if we're truly conscious tonight of the need of the world. And to many people, statistics are very boring. But on the other hand, they are very revealing of the true condition at hand. May I just mention some parts of the world for a moment tonight? The country in Africa called the Cameroon has 6.5 million souls, an open door yet for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 183 different tribes and languages. 6 have the Bible. 17 have the New Testament. 15 have one of the Gospels. That makes in just one little country alone 145 tribes and languages without a single witness of Jesus Christ or a single verse of Scripture in their tongue. The Lord said, "Lift up your eyes. Look on the field." And then he said, as he was moved with compassion, according to Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 36, 37 and 38, then he said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest." Did you know that what you're doing is now the abnormal thing for the churches of this country? But before God, and before these churches, it should be nothing more than the normal thing. Are you familiar with the story of the Czech Moravians? Those people who became followers of John Huss in Czechoslovakia after he translated the scriptures, given it to them in the common language in the late 1400s in the country of Czechoslovakia. These people in the early 1700s, in fact it was in 1732, over 50 years before the so-called father of modern missions, William Carey, went to the country of India, those people caught a burden and a vision and began to send out missionaries. It started in a prayer meeting. That prayer meeting lasted over 100 years. There was someone praying every 15 minutes around the clock for over 100 years. There's never been another group in history that had one for one. They came to the place where they had one for one. It started in prayer. They sustained it in prayer. Just a small little group of people. You know what the problem is today among the Mosquito Indians, or the biggest portion of those who make up the Contras, those who are fighting against the Sandinista regime in Nicaragua today, is not necessarily that old National Guard of Somoza that the media would have you to believe. It's Mosquito Indians. The Mosquito Indians were reached over 100 years by Czech Moravian missionaries. And on the eastern coast of Nicaragua, they speak 3 languages, by the way, Spanish, English, and the Mosquito Indian language. And they became the leading farmers, and they became the leading people of the country of Nicaragua. They are a threat to the Sandinistas. Over 50 of their pastors have been martyred for their faith in the last 5 years. 15,000 of them are refugees in Honduras tonight. The aim of the Sandinista regime in Nicaragua has been to eradicate them and wipe them off the face of the earth, because there is such character in those people that they can do nothing with them. And as they have killed and raped and plundered and confiscated their property, then they have joined and they are the leaders in the Contras. But what produced those people? What was it that brought about such character and such progress and all that's been involved? It was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That came about because of the Czech Moravian brethren. When they went to mission field, they went to stay, if necessary, and never come back home. They lost 75 families to martyrdom alone in one single year. Two of them were in the heart of Africa, felt a burden for a leper colony, but there was the government would not give them permission. So what did they do one night? They just dug under the fence, and the next morning when the sun came up, the authorities found them inside the leper colony with the lepers, and they were considered contaminated, and so there they were. There they were. But what they did should be the normal thing before God. May God help us tonight to realize why we exist. That's the purpose of this missions conference. That the rest of you that meet here might realize really why you are meeting together. We could talk about other countries tonight, not only in the heart of Africa, but in other parts of the world. Many countries, perhaps, that you've never heard, in the Maldives Islands tonight, off the coast of India, an independent republic, does not have the scriptures in their own tongue. In that republic tonight, there is not one known believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are considered to be some of the most depraved. It is said that their pastime or their way of life is nothing more than be perverse. You say, well, what's the answer? To pray the Lord of the harvest. To pray the Lord of the harvest. To pray specifically. To take them by name. We could mention many other countries tonight. Now, it could be that God would have you to begin to pray for some of these parts of the world. I wonder tonight, have you found out why you're here? Have you found why you exist? All the world is not just in the New Testament. All the world's on the heart of God. All the world can be found in all the Word tonight. Thank you, brother.